When there is a hot day at the Villa San Girolamo, they all wash their hair, first with kerosene to remove the possibility of lice, and then with water. Lying back, his hair spread out, eyes closed against the sun, Kip seems suddenly vulnerable. There is a shyness within him when he assumes this fragile posture, looking more like a corpse from a myth than anything living or human. Hannah sits beside him, her dark brown hair already dry. These are the times he will talk about his family. He will sit up and flip his hair forward and begin to rub the length of it with a towel. She imagines all of Asia through the gestures of this one man, the way he lazily moves, his quiet civilization. He speaks of warrior saints, and she now feels he is one, stern and visionary, pausing only in these rare times of sunlight to be godless, informal. Although he is a man from Asia, who has in these last years of war assumed English fathers, following their codes like a dutiful son. "Ah, but my brother thinks me a fool for trusting the English," he turns to her, sunlight in his eyes. "One day," he says, "I will open my eyes. Asia is not a free continent, and he is appalled at how we throw ourselves into English wars. It is a battle of opinion we have always had. One day you will open your eyes," my brother keeps saying. The sapper says this, his eyes closed tight, mocking the metaphor. "Japan is a part of Asia," I say, "and the Sikhs have been brutalized by the Japanese in Malaya." But my brother ignores that. He says the English are now hanging Sikhs who are fighting for independence. Hannah turns away from him, her arms folded. The feuds of the world. The feuds of the world. She walks into the daylight darkness of the villa and goes in to sit with the Englishman. At night, when she lets his hair free, he is once more another constellation, the arms of a thousand equators against his pillow, waves of it between them in their embrace and in their turns of sleep. She holds an Indian goddess in her arms. She holds wheat and ribbons. As he bends over her, it pours. She can tie it against her wrist. As he moves, she keeps her eyes open to witness the gnats of electricity in his hair in the darkness of the tent. Kip walks out of the field where he has been digging, his left hand raised in front of him as if he has sprained it. He passes the scarecrow for Hannah's garden, the crucifix with its hanging sardine cans, and moves uphill towards the villa. He cups the hand held in front of him with the other as if protecting the flame of a candle. Hannah meets him on the terrace and he takes her hand and holds it against his. The ladybird circling the nail on his small finger quickly crosses over onto her wrist. She turns back into the house. Now her hand is held out in front of her. She walks through the kitchen and up the stairs. The patient turns to face her as she comes in. She touches his foot with the hand that holds the ladybird. It leaves her, moving onto the dark skin. Avoiding the sea of white sheet, it begins to make the long trek towards the distance of the rest of his body, a bright redness against what seems like volcanic flesh. "I know all about sarongs." Caravaggio waved his hand towards Kip and Hannah as he spoke. "In the east of Toronto I met these Indians. I was robbing a house and it turned out to belong to an Indian family. They woke from their beds and they were wearing these cloths, sarongs, to sleep in, and it intrigued me. We had lots to talk about and they eventually persuaded me to try it. I removed my clothes and stepped into one, and they immediately set upon me and chased me half naked into the night." "Is that a true story?" Hannah grinned. "One of many." She knew enough about him to almost believe it. Caravaggio was constantly diverted by the human element during burglaries. Breaking into a house during Christmas, he would become annoyed if he noticed the advent calendar had not been opened up to the date to which it should have been. He often had conversations with the various pets left alone in houses, rhetorically discussing meals with them, feeding them large helpings, and was often greeted by them with considerable pleasure if he returned to the scene of a crime.